In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Christ is risen. In the Paschal Triparion, we hear this in the final phrase. And upon those in the tombs, bestowing life. In Orthodox theology, our hymnology, and our iconography, we see that Jesus Christ is often called the life giver. We see it inscribed on many of our icons in Greek. Christos Zoodotis, Christ, the life giver. And what is perhaps the oldest non-biblical hymn that we have in the church, the Gladsome Life, which we sing at Great Vespers, we hear this, O Son of God and giver of life, therefore all the world doth glorify thee. One of the four cornerstones of life needed for its sustenance, along with food, clothing, and shelter, is water. And over the next several weeks, the church is going to focus quite a bit on water. Indeed, you will notice for the next 3 weeks, all the Gospels, indeed all the Gospels from after the Sunday of the myrrh-bearing women until we head up right before Pentecost, have to do with encounters of Jesus Christ with individuals around water. We see the paralytic beside the pool at Bethesda today. Next week we are going to see the Samaritan woman encountering Christ at Jacob's well. And the following week we are going to find Christ running into a blind man near the pool of Siloam. So water is going to be an ongoing theme in the life of the church over the next several weeks. Indeed, this coming Wednesday is the feast of what we call Mid-Pentecost, the midway between Pascha and Pentecost, which is a great feast in Orthodox countries. I believe they even close off their work on that day, and they celebrate Mid-Pentecost almost like it is a second Pascha. And the Triparion of that feast day, indeed, most of the hymns have to do with water. In the middle of the feast, O Savior, fill my thirsting soul with the waters of piety, as you just cry out, any man who thirsts, let him come to me and drink. O Christ God, the fountain of life, glory to thee. As the people in California right now who are suffering from a great drought are finding out, you cannot sustain life for very long without water. Indeed, in my own life, 5 years ago, I spent 5 days in the cardiac intensive care unit over at the Montclair Hospital simply because my heart almost stopped because I was so dehydrated. I was dehydrated after several weeks of a stomach virus that didn't go away. My kidneys stopped functioning very well, and my potassium levels went sky high off the chart, and they told me that I was probably only a couple hours away from my heart stopping. And all of that could have been avoided had I been better hydrated, had I been drinking more water. Water is needed for life. From the beginning of creation, we see the connection of water with life. And the book of Genesis begins, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and the earth was without form. And the Spirit of God moved over the face of the waters." And then God began the process of creating all life from those waters. And this brings us to our gospel today, where we find a man paralyzed 38 years, lying beside a pool at a place called Bethesda, near what is known as Solomon's Portico. And he is hoping and praying that today would be the one day that a miracle would occur in his life. Because on this day, an angel of God came down, and he stirred the waters. And the first person into that water was said to be healed of whatever it was that ailed him. Unlike the paralyzed man that we read about in the second week of Great Lent from St. Mark's Gospel, who had several good and faithful friends of great faith who took him and carried him before Christ. And when they couldn't get him to Christ, they literally tore the roof off of a house and dropped him down from the ceiling. And there he was, placed before Christ and received his healing. Unlike that paralytic man, this poor man had no one. He had no one to take him, even that few feet that he was laying next to the pool into the water. And this had been going on for 38 years. 38 years, no one cared enough for him to carry him and bring him to the water. So today we see that the water came to him. The water came to him in form of the Jesus Christ, who is the living water himself, as we are going to hear in next week's encounter of Jesus with the Samaritan woman. He is the living water, and he gave this man's lifeless limbs a new life. The life giver gave this man a new life. The Holy Church Fathers from the earliest times have equated all these miracles that had to do with water, they equated it with the Christian sacrament of baptism. And although this paralytic man today was not physically put into the water at Bethesda, which by the way is a Hebrew word meaning house of loving kindness, house of mercy, house of healing, this man, although he wasn't put into the water, he was truly covered with the living water and given life from the giver of life. Just as in our baptisms, we are given a new life. We are given forgiveness of our sins, dying in the water and rising again to new life. So too was this paralyzed man given a new life, both physically and spiritually, because he also received the forgiveness of his sins from Jesus Christ. Like we did at our baptisms, we were asked if we were freely choosing this way of life, and we had to openly proclaim that we have united ourselves to Christ. Some five times we said that we have united ourselves to Christ. And we promised to turn from sin. Indeed, we even turned to the west there, and we breathed and we spit on Satan, and we told him that we renounced him and all his evil works and all his evil passions. We received the forgiveness of our sins. And Jesus telling the man in the gospel today that by receiving the forgiveness of sins and this newness of life, he must also seek to sin no more, lest even a worse thing than paralysis happen to him. With our baptisms, we received all the graces that Christ has to offer to us. And after we were grafted onto the body of Christ, which is the church, we also have responsibilities. The same responsibilities that Jesus gave to this paralytic man today, to do our best to sin no more. Our baptisms gave us membership into the Church of Christ, participation in the Eucharistic banquet, continued healing through anointing with oil, and forgiveness of our later sins by the sacrament of confession. But like the paralytic man in the gospel today, we were told that we have to pick up our bed and walk. We have a responsibility now as members in the body of Christ, the church, to walk in newness of life and to strive to keep his commandments and to sin no more. We saw in the gospel that this man, once he learned who it was that had made him well, who had healed him, he immediately began to tell others. He became an evangelist of sorts. And he it was, the last verse we read in the gospel today, it said, he went and told the Jews that it was Jesus who had made him well. And we see in a later verse that it says, after hearing this, the Jewish leaders began to plot to put him to death. From Pascha until Pentecost, the church over and over again seeks to remind us to renew our own baptismal vows. At every single liturgy, just like today, the Trisagion hymn is replaced with a verse from the third chapter of St. Paul's epistle to the Galatians. As many of us who are baptized into Christ have put on Christ. We are constantly being reminded by the church to recall our baptism and what it means to us. St. Cyril of Jerusalem in the fourth century, he took his newly illumined people who had just been baptized, and he preached a series of 40 homilies all the way until from Pascha until Ascension, and he taught them about the things that happened to them at their baptism. And he said to them, Jesus was the physician of our soul and body, leading our minds into life and healing the visibly lame and guiding sinners in the way of repentance, saying to the palsied man, sin no more, lest a worse thing happen to you, and also take up your bed and walk. St. Gregory the theologian, who was a contemporary of St. Cyril, although he lived on the other side of the empire, he equates all of these miracles that took place around water in the Gospels to being baptized. And he does the same thing with the paralyzed man in the Gospel today. He says, yesterday you were flung on a bed, exhausted and paralyzed, and you had no one when the water was troubled to put you into the pool. But today, you have him who is in one person, both God and man, and you were raised from your bed, and you acknowledge God for the benefit. And then he goes on to say, do not again be thrown upon your bed by sitting in the evil rest of a body paralyzed by passions and pleasures of life. But walk uprightly, carrying the word of God, Christ himself, with you, just as if it were your bed, ever mindful of the command to sin no more, lest something worse happen to us. Brothers and sisters in Christ, let us remember our baptism. St. Maximus of Turin says this. He says, just as the Spirit of God hovered over the waters and created the world, so too Christ has renewed the earth through the members of his church who are now born again in the waters of baptism and made to blossom afresh as men brought back to new life. Let us remember our baptisms. Let us remember that we died into the water with Christ, and through that water we are now alive with Christ once again, our sins forgiven, and members of his body, members of his church. Let us continue to take up our bed and walk in this newness of life, in this new gospel, ever mindful of our former paralysis and ever grateful for Christ, the living water. O Son of God and giver of life, therefore all the world doth glorify thee. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Christ is risen.
Amen.